Today on Changing Course, our guest is Lola Alapo, public relations specialist in the Office of Communications and Marketing. She's also a science writer here at the University of Tennessee. So you've just come back from China. What got you interested in the first place to even go there?
So I love traveling, and Asia is one region of the world that I have not been to. And so when the email came across from CIE, I decided, if I get accepted into this, this will help me check that off my list. But it was more than checking off items off my list. I love to travel and I love new experiences. And this was one that seemed would be a good fit.
So what did the email from the Center for International Education actually say, or what did it promise?
You know, it's funny. I think they sent it maybe the previous year, but I end up deleting a lot of things. But for some reason, I just saw China in the subject line. I thought, oh, let me open this. And it's interesting because I deal with a lot of faculty here who travel during the summer when they're off. And I love that this opportunity was for faculty and staff because I'm a staff member. You know, and one of the things I love about UT, you know, are the opportunities that are available to folks who work here. And so I said, well, let me apply. You know, what do I have to lose? And it said it's, 2 weeks you get to teach. And basically the only requirement, or at least in my head, what I saw was, do you enjoy people? Yes. Do you love to talk to people? Yes. Are you not shy? Nope. You know, and so I applied and I got in. And it's interesting because the trip, the teachers, it was a mix of folks who were faculty, but a lot of folks were staff. And so it's really neat to just think outside of the box, because when you think faculty, you're thinking, your traditional teacher in front of the classroom, but I don't do that. But it was neat that I was still able to bring my experiences and the things that I love, to this and share it with our students.
The program takes place in Nanjing, China.
Correct. And it's 2 weeks at Southeast University. And for 2 weeks, we have students who are freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and they're students who've taken English as a second language, probably in middle school and high school, much like students here take Spanish or Italian as a second language. And so they already have some knowledge of English, but our job was to help them in the conversational skills. With a lot of language learning, the reading and the writing, I think, comes a lot easier sometimes, but the conversation is where people have a difficult time. And so our job was to help them with the conversational part of this. And the other part of it was to also introduce them to some element of American culture. And it could be anything we wanted. Some people did lessons on the American, holidays. Some people did stuff about national parks. I love to eat. And so one of my lessons was about Tennessee-made food and drinks. But my larger lesson was actually looking at the iconic landmarks and places in Tennessee. And so this was a way to introduce the students to the great state of Tennessee and walk them, all the way from West Tennessee to Middle Tennessee to East Tennessee and introduce them to some of the cool things we have here. I'm not from here in Tennessee or Knoxville, and so it was also educational for me to learn about the state as I was doing the research for my lesson.
What were the students like?
It's interesting because I think on both sides, on my side and also the student side, you're never sure what to expect. It's a new experience for both, for me and for them. And so you go in thinking, okay, what do I do? How are they going to be responsive? How will they react? But I loved my students. They were very engaging. The thing that was interesting, I think, because I'm very much an extrovert and I talk with my hands and I love to ask questions and have people ask me questions. And so I had to do a lot of prompting. But once I got my students talking, they didn't quiet down, which is really cool, because a lot of my students, they start out kind of being quiet, but I think once they have the floor, it was interesting just to hear their ideas. We played a lot of games. For example, we did improv, to get them thinking on their feet. We would give them a topic, they have 30 seconds to think about it, and then 30 seconds to present it. And they could talk about anything. And it was really cool to hear them speaking. A lot of the feedback I got at the end of camp, they talked about how when they first came, they were a little shy, but a lot of the speaking things that we did really helped them feel more comfortable with the language. And a lot of them, too, asked a lot of questions about how are American universities different from Chinese universities? How are the students different? And then we get funny questions like, how can I get an American girlfriend? You know, but we always made space for them to ask us questions just as we were asking them questions. And the other thing that was cool about it, you know, I think about oftentimes when we travel overseas as Westerners or Americans, we think we're bringing something to people, which we do, right? But I think for us, they were also giving us something, which is also learning, which meant for us learning about Chinese culture. So, for example, my lesson on Tennessee icons and landmarks, the students had the task of presenting their own mini lessons based on ours. And so they did Chinese iconic places and landmarks. And so we were learning about China and Chinese culture through them as well. And that was really cool.
Did you get a chance to explore Nanjing or the area of China you were in?
We did. The UT students probably had more time to do that just because in the evenings when they were off, they got to do that. I was after dinner grading papers usually. But on the weekends, we had a lot of time to see what Nanjing was about. And Southeast University actually made a point of introducing us to a lot of the cultural things in China because their thing is, we want you to learn too. And so we went to places like the Sun Yat-sen Mausoleum. And one of my very fun facts about that is that there are 392 steps leading up to it because when it was built in, I think, 1926, it represented the 392 million Chinese people living at the time. And so I just love that everything had a learning component. You know, another time we went to the Nanjing Museum, which reminded me a little bit of the American Museum of Natural History in New York, where I grew up, on a smaller scale, obviously. But so just little things like that. And then another time we went to the Ming Tomb Museum, you know, which tells a story of the contributions of the Ming Dynasty. Got to walk through these really neat gardens. And so for me, it was very much a learning experience, but it was also a very sensory experience.
And of course, my first knowledge of Nanjing was came from the obviously horrific human rights disaster, war disaster in World War II.
The massacre.
Yes. Mm. Did you have a sense that that happened there, or did people talk about that? Did it ever come up in conversations?
You know, it's interesting. It did not come up in conversations just because, I mean, it didn't. But in some of my students' presentations about iconic landmarks and places, a few of them included that history in their presentations, which I found interesting. Because before I went, I did not know about it. Some folks in our group got a chance to go, and they talked about how it's very much like going to the 9/11 memorial in New York. You know, where you leave, I mean, you're glad to have known about it. But when you leave, you need some time alone just to kind of process what you've seen. I did not get a chance to see that. You know, and if I have a chance to go back, I would love to go back there. A side note, you know, Nanjing is a small, quote, small city of about 7 million people. And I was told every class that I presented to, because in the mornings we rotated among 10 classes, and then you went back to your base class or your homeroom. And every time I shared my lesson, I would say, oh, Nanjing, I learned, is a city of 7 million people. Our entire state of Tennessee, with 346 cities, is 6 million people. And the students would just, oh, you know, you would see the surprise on their faces, or they would laugh. And so that was really interesting for us in terms of perspective. You know, things that we consider large here, when you think about it, you know, in context, it's like, well, maybe not really, you know, and so that was really cool. So total side note, but I found that interesting.
No, when I was in China, I would say, what city do you live in? And I would tell them, and they say, what's the population? And I would tell them and go, that's not a city, really. I went, it's not? Well, you mentioned earlier that you love food. How does Chinese food compare in China to whatever we've been eating here for years and years?
It is amazing. You know, that's kind of like you go to, you know, if you think you like salmon and then you go to Alaska and you eat it there, it's not the same thing once you come back. And so kind of the same thing, you know, the things that we were eating in the restaurants were just amazing, amazing. Like dumplings, simple things as dumplings are one of my favorite things. And now it's like, you know, you eat it here and you're like, oh, this is okay. I mean, the food was amazing. It was fresh, lots of vegetables. A lot of things that I recognized and a lot of things that I did not recognize. So if you ask about food on campus, it was okay. It's cafeteria food. But if you were eating out and about, then it was pretty amazing.
And I'm assuming you don't speak Chinese, you're not fluent in Mandarin yet.
No, not yet.
But how did you deal with those kinds of things? A lot of people would assume it would be impossible to be able to even get around one block if you don't know the local culture and the language and things.
I mean, that part was an experience. But, you know, at the Southeast University campus, they were very good. You know, a lot of their teachers, because it was out of the foreign language school, you know, virtually all their teachers there speak English. And so they were very helpful in terms of helping us get around and get what we needed. We did have some, or I had what I would call a misadventure regarding that. But even that was pretty fun. You know, at the hotel, you know, some of them speak English, some of them don't. So if you need a cab, you kind of pull up the address, you know, they kind of call the cab for you via their version of Uber, and they relay to the cab driver, this is where you need to go. Now, the challenge came if you needed, like once you were in the cab and you needed to give them a different set of instructions, you were kind of stuck and just trusting that they would get you where you needed to go. I had a bit of a misadventure one day. I was meeting a friend for dinner, a friend who lives there, actually. And, you know, so I did what I usually do, gave the hotel the address I needed. They called the cab and I got in and, you know, we were heading downtown. And about 45 minutes later, he drops me off, but there's nothing there that I recognize. Or the restaurant I was heading to was not there. And I didn't know how to tell him or ask him, sir, where am I supposed to go? And he just kind of shooed me out of the cab. And so I had a moment of stress or, you know, a moment of fright. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. Like, I'm in a big city. I can't get lost. Even though I didn't speak the language. But I basically walked into like four different hotels and, you know, I would find a bellman and I would kind of have my cell phone and show him and point, this is where I need to go. And he would get me to the next corner, walk into the next building, point, show them my phone. They get me to the next corner. And so I did that four or five times and eventually ended up where I needed to go. And what happened in that situation, usually they drop you off where you need to go, but another Uber person had pinged the driver. And he dropped me off about two blocks from where I needed to be. But it worked out. I made it back. It was fine. You know, so there are people who are willing to help. Part of it is also like just learning how to laugh at yourself. Because I was a little stressed out, but I thought, you know what? You know, it's going to be fine.
I'm just lost.
Exactly. And I will somehow find my way back. If they don't see me in the next 5 hours, they know to come looking for me because they know where I went.
So you in this group, you went with a lot of people, I presume, you had never met before from UT. What was that like getting to hang with all these students and people from different departments and such?
You know, it's really neat, you know, because, you know, oftentimes we talk about, you know, hey, you know, we're one volunteer family. And it was really cool to get to know people that I would not have met otherwise. There are a couple of people on the team that I knew just prior, just, you know, through professional relationships, but not very well. And so it was really cool to be with a team of people. When you got there, you didn't know them, but by the time you left, like, you're good friends. You know, and as evidence of that, we actually got together this past week, the group of teachers, to have dinner together. And we were like, you know, we need to keep this up. I mean, so it was just really cool. You know, that experience bonded us. You know, we had people from the Haslam College of Business, you know, me from the Office of Communication and Marketing, Center for International Education, a lady from the Thornton Center, the Thornton Athletic Center, you know, a teacher who is a grad student in psychology, somebody else who is in undergraduate admissions, somebody else who's in the honors program. So it literally brought people from all parts of campus. And that was really cool. And so I think, you know, for anyone who's kind of curious as to whether or not they should go, I would totally encourage it. I mean, if not for the fact that you just expand your networks here on campus.
Well, that's kind of funny because a lot of these people are probably, you know, less than a half a mile away from you every single day.
Exactly.
And you don't even know them at all. And
exactly.
You go to China to become friends.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now that you look back on it, you've been back here a few weeks, what do you feel about the experience? What are your takeaways?
You know, it's interesting because at the end of it, you know, I knew that we went there to do good and my students loved it and I loved them. You know, but there's always that nagging feeling of, did they really kind of learn anything? And so in the last day of class, I decided, you know what, I want them to give me feedback. So if I ever did this again, or at least stuff I can pass on to CIE, you know, so they could improve the program next year. And so the students mentioned that they give Southeast University feedback, but I had them write me a separate feedback thing. So I just, you know, wrote a couple of questions on the board. What did you like? What did you not like? What can we do better? Make it anonymous. you know, and I made the mistake of opening it and starting to read it in class, and it made me cry just because virtually all of them talked about how much they loved the experience and how much they loved learning about the different parts of our lessons in American culture. You know, some of them would love to come and visit someday. Some of them said, if you come back, let us know. We would love to see you. And it just really drove home the fact that, wow, you know, we did something that mattered to them and to us. You know, I grew, you know, personally and professionally, but they did too. And we had a hand in that. And it was fun. It was fun. I mean, we were in China for 2 weeks. We were halfway around the world and we got to experience a different culture. And, you know, for all of, you know, there were great times and then there were, you know, some times of misadventure, but it was all, I mean, we all grew through it and we enjoyed it.
Lola Lapo, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, our guest on Changing Course, Lola Lapo. I'm Todd Steed for Changing Course, which is a production of WUOT. For more information on this and other programs on WUOT, or perhaps to even donate now, you can visit our website, wuot.org.